Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward Relight, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near death, out of body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs. You're welcome to call in to ask questions and make comments during the show. Ring toll-free at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-810-8322 in Canada. Otherwise, you can ring direct at 530-876-3222. There are a number of services available through our organization Toward Relight, providing near-death studies and support, Reiki and remote healing, psychic, spiritual, grief, and motivational counseling, near-death books and videos, and other products for body, mind, and spirit. I'd also like to encourage you to help support this program and BBS Radio by making a donation or sponsoring a show. For more information, please visit our website, towardthelight.org. This week, I'm very pleased to present a very special guest, Shelley Yates, better known as Samoya. And she and her son actually had a very powerful near-death experience, which resulted in some very special messages coming through. Welcome, Shelley. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's really wonderful to have you with us. And, first I want to say that the beautiful music in the background is by your friend, Bradfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I so love this music. It's very, very beautiful and very wholesome and uplifting and empowering. So what I want to do, Samoya, is ask you to tell us a bit about you and your son's near-death experience and what has resulted as, since that has happened.
Well, my experience happened in November of 2002, and before I had this experience, I was a die-hard atheist with a very angry disposition. I was not a very happy person at all. So the fact that I'm telling the story is a miracle in itself, as far as I'm concerned. My son and I were traveling to a friend's house for a play date, and it had rained for 3 days, and we had a lot of water on the road. And as I entered an area with a lot of lakes, my car hydroplaned, and we flipped the car into a flooded marsh. My son was 4, and as we hit the marsh, I thought it was a little bog, and I remember saying to my son, okay, well, Mommy's going to open the door, and we're going to crawl out of this marsh. And when I started to put the window down, the window came down about 4 inches in the car, and I realized that it wasn't a marshy bog at all. It was a flooded marsh, so now it was a lake, and the water started to barrel into the car. And I looked at my son, and I was very calm because I had a life to, you know, I was a lifesaver, I was a scuba diver, I'd done a lot of kind of rescue exercises, so I was very calm, and I said, okay, Evan, we have to let the car fill up with water, and when the car is filled up with water, Mommy and you will swim out of the car. And he looked at me, and he said, okay, Mommy. So the water started to pile into the car very, very quickly, and it was very cold. It was November 14th. And he looked at me, and I said, now, baby, take a deep breath. And he said, okay, Mommy. And he did. And he gulped a big breath of air, and the water came over our heads. At which point, I was waiting for the water to fill the car and hear that little pop noise, know that the water was gone or the air was gone. And so when I thought the car was filled with water, I had hold of his coat, and I had the other hand on the door handle, and I tried to open the door, but the door was jammed. So I suspect we were up against a mud bank or some debris in this bog. So I held on to my baby, and I wiggled doors, and I jiggled doors, and I tried to get windows open, and nothing I did worked. So I decided to put his body in the back seat of the car. So I lifted his little body over my head into the back seat of the car, hoping that there might be some air up in the back seat. And I continued then to try to get us out of the car. And I was still reasonably calm at this point because I figured it was just a matter of getting a door opened. But all of a sudden, I couldn't get a door opened. And I had to take a breath. And that's when the panic started, because as I breathed in the water rushed into my lungs just like liquid fire. It was really scary. So then I started to panic, and I wanted my baby's little body back. So I started to wave my arms around the car looking for his body, and I couldn't find it. So I couldn't get the doors open, I couldn't find his body, and I had to breathe again. And that was when I heard the most majestic voice, and it said, "You need to relax. You know, you need to relax." And it was this kind of commanding voice about relaxing. And, you know, if you continue to fight the water, you're going to drown, which I thought was hilarious because, of course, I'm drowning. And I was thinking, what kind of ghost am I getting on my deathbed? You know, this guy's Jackie Gleason. So anyway, as I struggled in the water, the voice started to coo, more like a parent would. "You're fine, calm down, mommy's here," you know, that kind of feeling. And as the voice continued to coo in my ear, I did relax. And the voice told me, "We've come to help. This is all a mistake. Just follow the instructions. We're going to tell you how to get you and your boy out of the lake. They're coming." And I said, "They're coming?" And he said, "They're coming to get you out. But first you have to give yourself over to your water, to the water, and allow yourself to pass." Anyway, all of a sudden, against my normal behavior, because I would have fought to the death, I stopped struggling in the water, and I gave myself over to it, and I died. And I went off to meet these magnificent light beings who started to give me all the information about how they were going to help me and how things were going to be fine. And so if you pop back into the real world, a couple of men had passed the car in a series of coincidences, but of course there is no coincidence.
Oh, when you say real world, you mean the physical world.
Right. So I've gone off, I've already died, and I've gone off to be with these beautiful beings. And in the real world, rescuers are trying to get my body out of the car. So it took them 15 minutes to get my body out of the car. And by the time they got my body out of the car, I had been submerged for 15 minutes from their time of arrival. So they got my body out of the car, and they started CPR. That was another 7 minutes. So we're looking at 22 minutes. Evan's still in the water. And the man was doing the CPR, and he said, "She's gone." And with that, I sat straight up in the middle of the road and said, "Get my baby out of the lake." And this started another little mini panic because they said, "There's another person in the car. You know, go back in the lake and find the body." Of course, they couldn't find him because his body had wedged in the back window.
Oh, my goodness me.
So everybody's around, gathering around, and they're all crying, and I can hear them. And all of a sudden, a boom truck comes down, and they haul the car out of the water, and his little body is floating in the back window. And all the people around are crying, and when they open the door, his little body washed right out of the car. And he was dead as a doornail. He had been in the water for over 30 minutes, and they didn't think they would get him back. Anyway, we jump ahead. Long story short, we spend a great deal of time trying to get him back, and we get to the hospital, and they said, "Well, we have the bare minimum to say that he is alive, but he's brain dead, and his internal organs are destroyed because he hemorrhaged into them, so we think you should pull the plug." And that was when the voices came back, the ones from the lake, and they came back to me again, and they said, "Remember what we said. You know, have faith, child, and listen to the instructions." So then there was an incredible series of events at the hospital where I was given instructions to do an energy transfer to my child's body. Now, I didn't understand at the time what it was I was doing, but what they were describing was a way to get body energy out of every human being and into his body. So I followed the instructions. We did it for 72 hours, and the morning of the next day, he woke up, and he was completely healed. All the internal organs, there was no longer damage. His brain scan was fine, and the doctors were amazed.
I can imagine.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. So, I mean, that's a very short version of a very long story. But I thought I would give you lots of chance now to kind of, we'll unravel the story.
Yes.
So basically, they sent us to recovery. They said, now remember, he'll never walk, he'll never talk, he'll never use the bathroom again. And I said, listen, everything you've said so far is wrong. So we're no longer discussing what you think is going to happen. And in 3 weeks, my little boy walked out of that hospital, right as rain, on his own 2 feet, and we went home and had Christmas. So that's my miracle. It was a double miracle because I was underwater for 15 minutes. As far as I know, I'm the longest adult to be trapped underwater and not have any brain damage. But, of course, my friends always joke and say, oh, well, that's debatable. Because since I started hearing voices, they really like to razz me and say, well, you know, you said about that brain damage thing.
I know. It's so strange how some conventional thinking, especially that associated with allopathic procedures to medicine, as it were, it's so quick to define anybody who hears voices, quote-unquote, as being a little bit of a nutter, and yet it is our work to prove otherwise. Thank you very much, because, you know, the fact is, as you have experience directly now, we are multi-dimensional and multi-sensory beings living in a multiverse.
Oh,
so
incredible.
Hearing voices is a part of it because we are communicating telepathically, interdimensionally.
Yes, and in my particular case, I was blessed to not only hear voices, but then to start to have visions. And it all accumulated. But, of course, I was so angry, I wanted no part of it. I wanted it to go away. I spent every waking minute trying to turn all of this off, saying, I don't want any part of this. This is crazy. I don't even believe in God. So I'm certainly not going to play your game.
Well, I want to ask you now, because obviously here you were drowning, and these voices came to you. What compelled you to just let go and respond and take that chance that this is real?
The only thing I can describe that happened was some inner switch turned on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I just knew everything. This all made perfect sense. There was this complete understanding of kind of universal consciousness. It was like, yes, of course, if I relinquish, things will be fine. And it was a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came back to life, then the human logic that dictates our day-to-day life kicked in again. And I started with the whole questioning, oh, my gosh, that couldn't have happened. That couldn't be real. But yet here was my son alive and well.
Yeah.
You know, that there was proof. How could this not have happened? So I did my own thing for a long time, wrestling with the truth of this. And I said to my son one day, were you afraid when you were in the coma? And he said, no, Mommy, I wasn't. And I said, why not? He said, because God held me the whole time I was in the coma. I said, God? What do you know of God? Because, of course, you remember my family was, we didn't talk of God in my house. I said, what do you know of God? And I said, do you know God is real? He said, of course, Mom. I said, when you feel the love of God, there's no doubt about whether it's real. He's four.
Oh, bless
him. And
he
started explaining to me about, I said, well, what is God like? What, you know, what does he look like? And he said, the love that God sends out, he says, makes your heart tingle. And he said, there's all these beautiful lights. So here he was, absolutely faithful. He had no doubt of God. But here I still was struggling. How could all this have happened to me and I be still struggling with my faith? Because most people said, oh, well, you must be a new woman. I was like, no, I'm an old woman who wants this to go away.
Now, why did you want it to go away?
Because I didn't want to be weird. I didn't want to have to put out to the world that all of this was happening to me. Because over the next 2 years, I started to experience more and more visions. And it was like I got keener and keener. My ears and my eyes, I heard and saw more. And then they started talking about the world, and they said, what you did for a dying boy with a small group of people, you can do for a dying planet with a large group. That was how they introduced Fire the Grid Project. they explained to me that what we had done with Evan in the hospital was an energy transfer, and that every human being held within them these light beings. We're all part of this divine source. And the soul essence that lives within us, or the being that lives within us, is a direct piece of God.
Absolutely.
It is within us.
Absolutely.
It's not outside of us. And therefore, we have the ability to co-create with our own personal energy, because our true energy is that of divine source.
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
we can manifest that which we need and how to create the world that we want, because we're divine creatures. But we've just forgotten.
That is so true.
Oh, yeah.
When you had this experience, you actually tapped into your authentic self, and then the mortal mind was going through a tug of war with your authentic self.
Oh, so much so. It drove me crazy. And it was seems like that these beings wanted to talk to me, and I didn't want to talk, of course, so I wouldn't, you know, I was, like, resistant. But every time I sat in the bathtub, they would talk.
Uh-huh.
And I
yes.
thought, oh, water? Okay,
yes.
You want to talk in the water.
Well, water is also a very powerful conduit, because also being a clairvoyant and clairaudient, you know, I've got all those faculties intact as well, and I notice that any time I'm around water, oh boy, I get so switched on.
Yes.
So I'm not surprised. Water is very powerful.
Well, I was always a bather, so I would sit in the tub. I would sit in the tub, and the next thing is like chatter, 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 chatter. I was like, will you guys go away? I really don't want to talk about this. And I said, why me? Why me? Why me?
Yeah.
And you know what they said? They have a great sense of humor. They said, if we can get you, we can get anyone. And I said, what? And they said, you are the most obstinate, resistant, hostile human. And if we can find a way to your heart, we can touch anyone. And I said, really? I'm that much of a challenge, hey? And sure enough, I was, because it was 3 whole years of what I call the yo-yo. I'm on, I'm off, I'm on, I'm off. You know, trying to find my peace with Divine Source. And then one night in the bathtub, I had a magnificent encounter with some beautiful angels. And they said, right here, right now, make a commitment as to what you want to happen. You can write your own rules with your Divine Source. You know, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to stop anything you're doing. You have to live with your life with integrity and respect. But they said, you have to choose. The time has come. You have to choose. And they said, everything in each human's life is about the choices they make, and that will define them. So I did. I relinquished that day, and I said, I give myself to Divine Source as a fervid servant, and I'm ready. Tell me what to do.
Now, when was this?
Oh, I guess that
remember.
Was. I guess it was a little over a year ago.
Okay.
And it was a bathtub moment. And up until that time, now, which is kind of interesting, was because I had already started the Fire the Grid project, and I had done what I was told. I built the site. I followed all the instructions, and then I used to come home and say, "Now look, I did what you said. Can we stop now?" Thinking that everything
was... Oh, no way.
I said, I've done what you wanted me to. Can I stop now? And it was never... there was never a stop. It was, okay, here's the next part. I was like, no, no, no. I thought it was just this part. So the point I try to tell people when I give talks is the fact that even people who have had really special things happen to them, like me, still have to wrestle our human peace.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Because the human peace was put there to keep us alive. You know, our natural human instincts were there to keep us alive. And connecting with our souls is very difficult. And even though you connect sometimes, you still have to wrestle for the truth. Because the human slips in and goes, So part of my message sharing with people is just keep practicing. one day you wake up and it's all the ducks are in a row and it's wonderful. Because once you fully connect and you start to relinquish and realize you're not all that in a bag of chips, you know, there's a wonderful divine source that leads your life, and if you give your face to it, it's so magnificent.
It really, really is. And, you know, I want to revert back a little bit to when you were talking about a while ago, not wanting to appear strange or weird. And I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago on the phone. He's a fellow musician. And, you know, a lot of us are in the process of making big decisions. And he was telling me that Bob Dylan just didn't give a flip what anybody thought about any decisions that he was going to make in his life or what have you. If he decided to do something, he was just going to do it regardless of what anybody thought. And I thought, you know, that is a good point, because we are doing special work and it needs to be okay that we not concern ourselves with what other people think or what their judgments are or what have you, because mostly a lot of these judgments are coming from a place of ignorance anyway, and we should not allow ourselves to be daunted by their opinions based on their ignorance. Easier said than done, I realize, but at the same time, this is a powerful message. And like you, you know, I've had a few NDEs, one of which was huge and very long, being in coma and flatlining on my birthday, no less, back in 75, 76, and yet remaining hidden for over 20-odd years.
Mm-hmm.
And I, too, really just had my coming out, as it were, in the early part of this decade. So, although, unlike you, I've always been a mystic, and kind of openly so, because I didn't know not to be, I'm then experiencing the judgments and the ridicule and all of that. And so what the big NDE did for me was validate my experience and the truth that I had perceived. Still,
I was
shy.
I know. Me too. But I've certainly come around now, and I tell everybody my story. Fire the Grid is a very important project where we are going to unite the souls of people in every corner of the globe. That's what they asked for. They said, have a trusting, loving soul in every corner of the globe. They explained to me that around the Earth system is an invisible grid. It's an energy grid. Around the Earth is a visible grid. There's one inside the Earth. There's one outside the Earth. And the humans, us, are connected to both. And the energy flows out of the Earth through our bodies and out into the cosmos. But so many people are disconnected, and they're living in their own little miserable circle of, they're not allowing the energy to flow through them.
Exactly.
And this is why we have so much disease and cancer, and because there's no flow. So they explained to me that the grid that was around the Earth was deteriorating, and that it could no longer send back the positive energy that Earth needed, and that what we needed to do was jumpstart it. And what they showed me when they showed me that was the paddles for getting a heart started. The two big paddles came in on the Earth and went boom, and the Earth and everything, the whole Earth went ping, 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 and all these magnificent lights started on the grid. Every soul that was connected at that time with a loving intention of gratitude and thankfulness would actually radiate out a thought of love, and it would light up their square. It's actually not a square, it's a hexagon. So it would light up their hexagon on the grid, and that would, and then it was like a catching a cold, because everybody was catching it, and the whole grid was lighting up. And they said, you need to fire this grid on July 17th, 2007, at 11:11 Greenwich Mean Time. And, of course, I thought, how in the world am I going to get people all over the world to work with me? You know, it was a, if you build it, they will come. They said, just have faith, child. We directed you in the water with your son. Have faith that we're telling you the truth. I said, okay, I guess you know what you're doing. So by a series of coincidences, I found the right people, because I had no money. I was on social assistance. In the United States, you guys, I think, call it welfare. And
well, I didn't. I'm British, so I'm not involved with that system at all. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I was on the welfare system. I had two small children under the age of, I think, 8. So I had two small children. I was on social assistance trying to put myself through university, a single mom. That's where I was.
Yeah.
I had no resources. I had no money. I had no possibility to build a website because I didn't even have a computer. So I said, well, Divine, if you want this built, you better start putting some things in my life to help me build it. And sure enough, everything I needed came. Everybody. A web designer came. The music that plays on my site came from Bradfield. He's donated absolutely. Yep, he's donated.
That's what's playing in the background right now. It is stunning, and I hope Bradfield is listening, and God love you, lad. This is absolutely exquisite. It moves me to tears, and I never, ever tire of hearing this music.
He was a divine blessing because he was sent to me, and he facilitated so much of these projects. And I must say, you know, we all had to struggle with the fact that, well, gosh, can we even get this done? So
yeah,
we built
yeah.
the site, and we put the music. Everything was directed. When you open my site, it's a channeled site. I can take no credit for what you see because I was told what it looked like, how to present it. The only thing that I did do, I did the writing because they told me I had to invest something of myself.
Yes.
And the writing is from me. So everything on the site was channeled, the way to present it was channeled, and even the way to share the message. What they wanted me to do was kind of a chain letter situation and send it out to my circle of friends who would send it to their circle of friends and so on. And I remember going to bed at night going, this is crazy. There's no way anything like this is going to work. And right now we have 800 team members around the world. That's the team members. That's not the teams. So we have a constant communication with 800 team members around the world, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, Sweden, Spain. It's just magnificent.
I had actually signed up too, and of course I've got, and let's tell the listening audience, the website is firethegrid.org, FIRETHEGRID.ORG. It is on my website, towardthelight.org. It's on my VBS show info page. It's also on my online near-death experience groups, Light on the Water, both the Yahoo and the Google group. So I'm doing my part to spread the word because it is very important. And something I want to share with you, Samoya, is that when I visited your site and was reading this, I just said, oh, my God, because I have been familiar with this grid or with these grids all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been very aware of the hexagon.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a house that we lived in had a hexagonal skylight window. The hexagon, that very powerful geometric shape, is what I have always associated with divine source, with the light source, with the perfect energy flow and connectedness. And again, the fact that by nature, we are all telepathic.
Mm-hmm.
That is how we connected via these grids. And I just said, wow. So for me, this was another validation of my experiences. And I felt just a little less crazy when I saw your site. I said, oh, see, here we go with this universal consciousness validating us, connecting us, empowering us. And I tell you, I was so full of inspiration seeing this, and I just thought, okay, I've got to have this lady on my show. I've got to help with this project because I'm with you on this.
Furthermore,
I'm a Reiki practitioner, which is energy healing. So this is, again, very, very connected, and it is so real and yet so simple.
Oh, it's incredibly simple, yeah.
Yeah.
And basically what they told me was, okay, the grid system lives around the Earth. Each living creature on the planet, from the smallest mouse to the most powerful human, owns one square. You get one hexagon of space. That is your energy on the grid. So it shows that all living life has the same worth. It's very important to note that each living being has the same hexagon, and that your hexagon is either on or off. And when you're living in a state of gratitude with joy and you're finding joyful things in your life, your grid is on. And when you're living in a state of, oh, everything sucks and it's terrible and there's full of hatred and stuff like that, your grid hexagon is off. And right now they told me that they can't see us. Our earth is in darkness because so many of us are off.
Yes.
That the energy's not flowing through us. That's why it's getting trapped and we're having constant disease and so on. And that what we need is to fire the earth grid. And once we fire the earth grid, it will start a catalyst into a new time. There'll be an age of healing and an age of change and an age of growth. But basically that we're going to move ourselves towards the earth that we create with positive thought. And that in firing the earth grid, that you're going to assist your frequency to raising to a higher level, and that would be part of when you fired the earth grid with us, we would all get a boost of energy. You know, talk about buying an energy drink. Well, this is the best energy drink that's been provided for a long time.
And I can, again, affirm that, because whenever I'm doing Reiki on anyone, I experience the same thing. It's just... It, as you're treating somebody else, you're also treating yourself.
Exactly. So what you give out to the world, you get back. So if you sit during the time, July 17th, 2007, between 11:11 and 12:11 Greenwich Mean Time. Now, in Nova Scotia, that's 7:11 in the morning. So we're planning a very large event where we're going to gather and share and commune. And when you share your energy with the earth, with the intent of healing the earth, uniting humanity, and building a new world, it will bounce out to the grid, it amps itself up, and it comes back to you. Because what you give out, you get back. And when you send out a burst of love like that, it's going to come back and raise your field. And it's going to be easier for you to find joy in things. It's going to be easier for you to ignore the nasty driver on the road and send some loving wishes saying, gosh, I hope your day gets better.
Yes,
instead
exactly.
of finding anger. Instead of finding anger and swearing at them. Because the point is, once again, if you send off that positive energy to the bad driver who's being mean, it comes back to you again with love and joy. So we have to each take care of our own soul. We have to teach our children to embody the power of positive energy. And then we're going to move away from the negative energy, and the earth is it's headed for a shift, and this is the first step towards that shift. Is this grid? This grid
now, have
project.
Have you had an instruction that this will be an ongoing project, right, doing this once every year, or has it even got that far?
In the recent little while, I've been getting more and more information about a second project that's morphing and coming, and it's coming the same way the grid project did, and it's around healing the earth. So I suspect there's other things coming, definitely. With this earth project, though, we're looking now, the biggest thing we're looking for is to get enough souls. They told me to speak to people. They said that there was what they call dogma-based religion, which is, you know, people who have already got their ideas. Then, of course, there's the New Age metaphysical type of people. And then they said the third type of people were fence-sitters who say, yeah, I'd do something if I could, but I don't know what to do, so I'll do nothing. And what they taught me was introduce this idea to people, not as, listen, this is the be-all, end-all of life. You know, we're going to change the world and that's it. What you want to do is introduce a fissure of possibility, a fissure of possibility that if your God is omnipotent, why is this not possible? We don't want you to change who you are or change your religion or believe in something that doesn't fit for your soul. We want you to embrace all the good things of whatever it is you're already studying or learning or you're using and introduce the possibility. The fissure of possibility that uniting in love for 1 hour can make a difference. That's
it
all what
tremendous difference.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they said that the metaphysical people, the New Age people, will understand the basis of moving energy, which is true, and I have had no trouble getting people to understand what it is I'm saying. But the people who are in a more dogma-based religion, I simply introduce it with the fact that, why is this not possible? Your God is omnipotent. Our God is omnipotent. The same God rules over this earth. So why is this not possible? And everybody looks at me and goes, well, I guess it is possible. And I say, well, all we need is 1 hour of your time at the same time. So when I say Greenwich Mean Time, that's the English,
yes,
in the middle of England, Greenwich. That's the,
exactly,
the time. Exactly. And then it will spread out around the world. And on the website, we have listed the times. So if you live in Istanbul, your time is there. You know, if you live in Ontario, Canada, the time is there. Because what we want to do is have everybody on our earth concentrating at the same moment. And it only takes a moment. I think a lot of people are confused that they have to sit and meditate or prayer for a whole hour. And they explained to me there a little while ago that, this is kind of funny actually, they said, appease to the fence sitters, that if you come home from work after a hard day and you sit down and you put your feet up with your can of beer and watch a football game, and that brings you bliss and joy, then all you have to do is say, thank you. I'm so blessed to sit here with my can of beer watching my football game. Thank you. I'm blessed. And you have raised the frequency within your own field to one of gratitude.
Exactly, no matter what you're doing, where you are, putting out love and gratitude.
Exactly. And
yeah,
and during that hour, what I ask people to do is, if you pray, wonderful, pray. If you meditate, meditate. But if you don't do any of those things, find something that brings you great joy. Put on some music. Love your child. Cuddle and kiss them. Find joy in the moment. And at the end of that time, say, I am most blessed to have such wonderful blessings in my life. And blip, you turned yours on. It only takes a moment of gratitude and joy for this to work. Now, if you want to fill your whole hour with gratitude and joy, that's fabulous, and that's going to work even better. But during that hour, find one thing that you remember. Oh, my gosh, my beautiful child's face. That brings me so much joy. Thank you. And you turn
now
it on.
Now, let's talk about your beautiful child for a moment. What sorts of things has he been sharing with you? What has Evan been sharing with you? Has he?
He shared for a little while. Pardon me. He shared for a little while. He talked about the different angels that he had encountered. And then it stopped. He used to talk to me about portals. And I'd say, what is that? And he'd say, it's a vortex. And I'd say, a vortex. He'd say, yeah, it's a portal. And he said that God uses it to move the energy through the world. Now, this is a five-year-old.
Wow.
And I'd say, well, that's really cool. And he'd say, yeah, you know, it's kind of how God moves around.
And how old is he now?
He's eight.
He's eight.
And
okay.
He never speaks of anything anymore. He hasn't said anything, I guess, since he was five. But if you ask him about God, he looks at you and he goes, duh, of course God's real. He's
now,
got this kind
know,
of, you know.
Why has he become silent, do you think?
Well, I've asked some different people, different psychics, different people who are connected, and they think that he has to go through his natural progression of growing up, and that when he reaches puberty, there will be a time of awakening for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only assume that God knows best, and
yes,
that if he's not engaging right now, it's so he learns all his earthly lessons at this time, and then when things are ready, he'll come forward with whatever purpose it is he has.
I think it's going to be very, very powerful when he
wakes
is
up.
Able to come out again. Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting how sometimes we can zigzag, because when right after I had my death experience, to be exact, in the
mm-hmm.
70s, I did speak about it to a few people, but as a result of being you know, kind of ridiculed and, oh, no, that was just a hallucination. Even with someone who had been a dear friend, but she was a very staunch religionist, Seventh-day Adventist, I just shut down. And we never spoke again, and it broke my heart, actually. But I am a sensitive soul, so I really was silent for a long time. You know, I didn't stop being the natural clairvoyant that I am. I wasn't engaged in professional work with it at that time because I was still very, very ill. However, I was in a huge way shut down. And then by and by, I just sort of started to just fully come into the open again. And it was interesting that in, of all places, I was in Nashville, Tennessee, which is very fundamentalist Christian, when I had my full-blown coming out, and I ended up on the radio, I ended up on television and everything in Nashville, Tennessee, about dying, about, you know, being on the other side. So it's interesting that all of a sudden, really, I think within this decade, we've had an explosion of the coming out and of interest and media interest in the near-death experience. And look at all these powerful messages that are coming through that are so vital for the healing of our planet. And it is critical mass at this point.
It's certainly speeded up. When they finally got me in the tub and they said, look, the time is here. You need to choose now, today. And I said, oh, I'll have a big ceremony. And they said, no, right here, right now. You and God. Make a decision. Are you in or out? And it was like being called to the mat. And I had no choice at that point but to say, I'm in. Because the only other option was to be out, and I couldn't handle that. So I said, okay.
What you've been through.
Yes. Okay, I'm in. And I owe a great debt of gratitude to these wonderful light beings. They brought me back my son. But I remember how atheist I was. When we were in the hospital and Evan was in the coma, a group of more religious-based kind of people showed up and they said, oh, can we pray for your son? And I said, no, I don't want your prayers. And they went, oh, my, and they kind of started to walk away. And I said, wait now, I've changed my mind. And they said, oh, yes, yes. And I said, I've changed my mind. You go and tell your God he can't have my boy. But it was, you tell your God he can't have my boy. And and I mean, it was so, humanity are so full of ourselves that we think that we do things without divine grace. You know, that anything that we manifest is not without divine grace. The thing is, once we manifest it, simply say thank you. So
and
when you bring joy.
Important.
Yes, when you bring joy into your life, when great things happen to your life, say thank you. And they taught me that even when bad things happen in your life, say thank you. The lesson is embedded in the difficult challenges. And to move on.
It really is.
Yeah, to move on to become a better human, you have to face your challenges because you orchestrated them. You orchestrated them on the other side. You set up everything that you wanted to happen, and you come here. And then you're given what you asked for. I mean, if somebody gives you what you're asked for, you say thank you.
I have been making the statement a lot lately that everything happens or doesn't happen for a reason. And a very good example of that is when I was recently visiting my daughter in Boston. She accompanied me to the train, and the train pulled up and then just disappeared again without me getting on it. And I thought, oh, blimey, I'm missing the train. Mm-hmm. And we were angst a bit for a moment, and then we just went back to my daughter Jamil's place and put on the tea and proceeded to play a game of crib together. And this was an opportunity for us to really, in such a beautiful way, to connect with each other in a way that we hadn't been able to throughout the entire trip, because she was busy, I was busy, and I was traveling throughout Maine and all of this. But missing the train actually caused us to really connect with each other in such a special way. And we both said, wow, how special is this?
Exactly. And it's about looking at everything. Like, Fire the Grid is about seeing the optimism of hope
Yes.
That's the basics of it. And then if you take everything that happens in your life, everything, and don't look at the negative of the moment, look at the positive. It's the whole silver lining thing, but with a more logical base to it, that if you are choosing to become who you want to be in life, it's about choosing how you view each incident. And each incident holds a potential. What is that potential? That's your mission, to find it. Find that positive moment, take that one, use it, and then be thankful for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
And every time you, yeah, every time you do that, you raise your frequency. Now, they told me that as Earth shifts, we're moving more and more towards a time when the frequency on the Earth is going to be different. It's going to be higher. Right now, material plane is very dense. But we're moving further and further up into a higher frequency, and that humanity has to learn to assimilate. They have to learn to be in a higher frequency within their own field, or they're going to be very uncomfortable living on this earth.
That is so true. Yes.
If the earth is at 1,000, exactly. If the earth is living, say, at 1,000 megahertz, and I'm just using that as a number, if it's living at 1,000 megahertz, but you're only living at 200. You're going to feel a constant feeling of disease. You're not going to be comfortable. So they said that in firing this earth grid, taking part of it within the project, you'll get a jump. So say we're all living at 500, we're all going to get a little jump up to 750. And then each step becomes easier and easier. And they said don't feel that the people who don't fire the grid don't have the same opportunity. They're just going to have to do a little bit more work. That the Fire the Grid opportunity is an opening in the galactic center. Now, I have an interesting story about that. The Astrology Association in the United States got hold of my story, and they contacted me and said, where did you get the date? And I told them. And they said, well, are you aware that the date that you have given has three of the major centers of the galaxy open at the same time? And I said, well, no, I didn't know that. They said, it's a perfect day for a spiritual happening. And I said, well, then I guess they know what they're talking about, because they gave me the date.
I had actually sent you an email about that, too, a few weeks ago, with an astrological forecast.
Yes. Yep.
You know, validate. I said, this should make you feel good, because, yes it's a very, very powerful time. And
it's a very powerful time.
I want to add to this is as people in our planet are being quickened, we're all going to be hearing voices, we're all going to become extremely telepathic, the veil is going to become so very thin that it's going to be very easy and natural to see our friends and family who are on the other side, and a host of other beings as well.
Yep.
And all of this is just going to be so second nature to us that people like me are not going to seem like a weirdo worthy of being burned at the stake sort of thing, you know? And
exactly.
This quickening is kind of been going on for a little while, but it's being expedited and moving faster and faster all the time. PMH Atwater has been talking about this quite a lot, too. So this is very exciting news, how all of us in the ears, we've been getting such a powerful message, all pointing to the same truth.
And oh, definitely, yep.
So, and again, people need to realize that it's very simple, and our authentic true selves are divine. And I've also maintained that there's no way that we can be separate from that light source. We can only perceive being separate, but we are not, in fact, ever separated from that light source.
They also explained in my case, and I mean, this is kind of in and around everything we're talking about, they said that right now we're in darkness, that from outer space, they can't see us. And I think they're talking about they, meaning the angelical beings. Earth is in darkness.
Yeah.
So they said, when you fire the grid, we will begin to see you, and we will not let you go. We're here for you. We're coming. So it was this reassurance that once we light this up and they can see us, that they can come and help in the event that we need help, which I didn't know what we might need help with, but I'm glad they're coming. The second thing they said would happen is that within us, the DNA that lives within our bodies, activating the grid system would facilitate the activation within our own beings toward our true self. The memories will start to come.
Yes.
And that firing the grid will facilitate this. So it will facilitate a lift in our own auric fields, so the energy fields will start to raise naturally, and that we will start to remember easily who we are. So it's an opportunity not only to heal the earth, but to kind of turn ourselves back on to our true selves.
Oh, and what an exciting thing is that.
I think it's fabulous.
Oh, my goodness. Something when you were talking about the darkness of the planet, it triggered a memory in me which is really intense. It takes me back to my very, very first memory coming into this plane. A few years ago when I was in Nashville, a woman had to write a dissertation. She had to interview people from three different generations, an older person, a middle-aged person, and a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was simply, what do you remember your first thought being?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, for some reason, this one's very simple. I remember coming into this plane and saying, this isn't real. This isn't me. This isn't where I belong. I want to go home. And I also remember that it was very dark, very dark. And I'm not talking about, you know, my being blind, because that's another story. I could feel the darkness, and I was so sensitive that I could also see light, even though my physical eyes were blind at the time. I was so aware of this sticky, weird, dark mesh, a blanket of ominous darkness and sinister energy. Oh, my God. Well, I was also born during World War II, so that doesn't help. But
no.
Still, that's a very powerful reflection of what the prevailing energy was around this planet, and it hasn't really gotten any better, sad to say, except that these pockets of light, because the light cannot be defeated ever, these pockets of light are going to burst through and say, whoop, the light is here. Pay attention.
Yep.
So,
well,
here we go. Working to bring this, to reignite this light, to reignite this flame.
That's what this grid project is. It's an opportunity or a catalyst. They said the galactic center is wide open. It's perfect for a spiritual happening. But what we want to happen is we want humanity to unite as one race. You know, colorblind and everything that goes with, you know, we no longer want to see separation. We want to see unity.
Thank you very much, yes.
When we create this for ourselves, we have to see it that way. Because we're powerful manifestors, because we're co-creators with divine source, we have to start seeing what we want. See it as if it's already happened. And firing the grid is an event that is going to bring us together. It's really, really an incredible story, because the same day I received an email from a Baptist minister in far south, saying that he was really into this and he was going to help because he understood the power of prayer. And the same day, I had a woman from Louisiana, a pornographic star. That's what she does with her life. And they told me that sinner and saint would unite for the same cause. And the day those two people called me the same day, I said, there you go, God. You know, so-called sinner, so-called saint. And they had come together for the same purpose in two different parts of the world.
That is tremendous.
It is tremendous.
That is tremendous.
And I had one man say to me, I wouldn't allow her to help. And I said, then you're missing the message.
Oh, my
goodness.
You're
missing the message that each one of us, the path we took to get to where we are, was riddled with challenges. And how the human was able to handle the challenges to find how we managed to be who we are right now. But that's not who we really are. to remember who I am, a divine piece of God, is to remember whoever human I meet is, which is a divine piece of God. And they immediately get my love and respect, whether or not I like their person or they're human or not.
Exactly.
Their human may be pretty crummy. you could go back and do some lessons in human school. But your soul I love, because you are my brother, my sister, the entity from which we both come from the same source. And therefore, I'm going to be patient and loving.
And that's a very important point to remember right there, is that the human ego or persona is just a role that a soul is playing
exactly.
out for certain reasons. But that's not who we are.
Exactly.
And, you know, that we really need to drive that home.
Yep.
Because we are, indeed, we are all divine. And, you know, I'll say, oh, I find that person's behavior despicable, but that person is a part of the light. Even Hitler was a part of the divine light.
Exactly. And I have, I have like 10 hours of, I had 10 hours of talking to ever fit into like an hour, because it's all about acceptance and loving. And if you take care of you first, if you take care of your own needs and stop putting your energy off about, ooh, look what they did, or look what she has, or just look inward. Who
yes.
do you want to be? And when we start, and each individual does the work personally, the world grows each individual at a time.
And also, as we're pouring out love to everyone, all of that hardness and anger and fear will start to melt away.
Exactly. Now, I also want to add... It doesn't come easy. It takes practice. And even for somebody, you know, I've had a really great experience. You think that this would all come easy. It doesn't. I still lose my temper, and then I have to go back and say, now what happened? Why did I do that? How can I do it different? It's practice. First it's recognizing, and then it's practice about being loving. And that each one of us can do it, and we just have to have patience with ourselves. The first person we have to love unconditionally is us. And when we make a mistake, own it, say you're sorry, and try again.
Well, that is so wonderful. And you know, this hour has just flown by so quickly.
Mm.
Boy, oh boy, we could go on. And I will have you back on our show some more, especially as we get closer to the event. Again, I want to iterate really quickly. It is going to be on, I don't remember what day of the week it is, but it's 17th July of this year at 11:11 Greenwich Mean Time. So that would be, what is it, 7:11
Nova Scotia, yep.
Eastern time in America, that would be 6:11 and so on. Unfortunately, the dates on the time clocks that you've got on your universal time clocks, well, they're backwards for most of us interpreting, because we do day, month, year, but people will be able to figure it out anyway. It is 11 July, and the website, once again, is firethegrid.org. Samoy, it's been so wonderful having you with us, and I want to share with our audience once again a reminder that it is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And Samoya, we will have you back again soon, and let's do keep in touch.
Anytime, any topic. I'm open now. God has won my soul.
Well, bless you, and thank you so much for being with us. And do remember, everyone, that only love prevails. We'll talk to you next week. And also, thank you, Bradfield, for the beautiful music. Cheers.
Yes.
Talk to you next week.
Thank
Bye
you.
For now.
Bye-bye.